Get back into our study on faith. We have covered a great deal of material to this point. We've really looked at faith in an in-depth and detailed fashion. We've looked at the nuts and the bolts of it, as well as the overall concept of what faith is. We've talked about faith being my personal belief, that which I have come to believe in as a believer in God and a believer in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior. We've also understood that the faith is that body of teaching that we understand as God's Word, and that is the basis on which my faith comes or is developed. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, or more succinctly, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And then we've talked about faithfulness, and that is how I implement consistently my faith based on what I understand from the faith or from God's Word, how I implement that on a consistent daily basis, that by which I live my life. That's faithfulness. So, clearly, my salvation is conditioned on my faithfulness. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, Jesus said clearly, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And in Luke 21 and verse 19, he said further, same sense as far as the message is concerned, by your patience possess your souls. Both of these passages indicating that this is a lifestyle. This is not just a part of our life, but this is an ongoing life that we must live. Patient endurance, patient, consistent, persistent faithfulness. As Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, the mysteries of God simply being His teachings revealed to us now in His Word fully. Moreover, Paul goes on and says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Required that one be found faithful. So my faithfulness is key to my salvation. Since my faith is so crucial to my spiritual well-being then, what can I do to stay faithful? So I can develop faith. I can even become faithful for a period of time. But this is a lifestyle. This is an ongoing life. What can I do to stay faithful? Now, I need to understand that we're not talking about somehow earning my salvation. I cannot earn my salvation. I can be saved only by God's grace. Paul also said that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And yet he also said that it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And again, Jesus said that he who endures to the end shall be saved, and in patience possess your souls. The message being that a life of ongoing faithfulness is required by God if we want to be saved. Faithfulness, you see, is my part in God's plan for my salvation. He saves me by His grace. He sent His Son to the cross to die, to be that perfect sacrifice through which I can be redeemed of the guilt of my sins, redeemed from my condemnation due to sins. But my faithfulness is my part in God's plan for my salvation. And so Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, the end of the verse, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful, Jesus says, until death. I actually like the King James rendering here, unto death. And I think giving the understanding up until and even including the point of, if necessary, you're dying for your faith, and then Jesus says, I will give you the crown of life, or eternal life will be yours and be realized in heaven. So, how can I stay faithful in spite of all of the challenges to my faith? And oh, they come at every turn, don't they? They're out there all the time. They are just, the devil keeps slamming us with all of those challenges, temptations, tribulations, difficult situations. They even use people we love and care about who claim to be our friends and are even our family members to try to tempt us away from faithfulness and into sin and thereby away from God. How can I stay faithful in spite of all of the challenges to my faith? God will be faithful to me. That should be one huge encouragement that I can carry with me every day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Now imagine that. Paul assures us that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he assures us that God will be faithful to us. He is faithful. We can have confidence in God's faithfulness to us, toward us, to not allow us to be tempted by any temptation that is too powerful for us to overcome with his help. So if God will be faithful, now what can I do to ensure that I remain faithful to God? I have the promise that he'll stay faithful to me. He'll be there for me. How can I stay faithful to him? First, I need to purposefully make my faith my life. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, Paul says, "He died for all," speaking of Christ, "that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So the Apostle Paul, an inspired writer of God's word, God guiding him through the Holy Spirit to write what he wrote, instructs that I should live no longer just for myself, but I should live for Christ, who died for me and rose again. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, in reflecting on his own life, Paul puts it this way. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So, my life I live physically still, but my life I live for Christ. It is dedicated to him. I must live a life of faith. My faith must be my life. I must be faithful in order for my faith to be my life. My spiritual life needs to be the primary focus of my whole life. Not just a part of my life, but as I've already emphasized, it needs to be my life if I want to stay faithful to God. So my spiritual life must be the primary focus of my whole life. It needs to be a mindset. Everything in my life should fall under the guidance and direction of, the governance of, my faith. That ought to be the chief governor overriding everything in my life. Why do I live the way I do? It ought to be because of my faith. What kind of places do I go? What kind of places do I abstain from? That ought to be governed and guided by my faith. What kind of activities do I participate in? What kind of people do I hang with and run around with and develop as my close friends? That ought to be governed and guided by my faith. My faith needs to be that mindset that guides my life in all that I do. In Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, we read along these lines, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." A mindset, and that requires diligent self-discipline and focus on my part. I need to set my mind on things above, on spiritual matters, on my spiritual life, on my faith. I need to give regular and consistent attention to strengthening and maintaining my faith. Again, not a haphazard thing, not a coincidental matter, not something to take up whenever I have time to do it or the inclination, but it ought to be an ongoing, regular part of my living, then I give consistent attention to strengthening and maintaining my faith. Paul put it in terms that we can relate to, especially in our culture today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." We understand the concept and the value of exercising physically today, and Paul says that is profitable to some extent, but only in this life. He says, now godliness, on the other hand, and he doesn't say give up the physical exercise, but he says focus even more on spiritual exercise, developing your spiritual muscles, so to speak, because that has promise not only in this life, but in the life to come, and that is eternity. So if I consistently live by God's teachings, carefully and properly applying them to my life, I'm going to be like a tree planted by a river of water. I'll be spiritually nourished and productive, and my faith will be strong. The psalmist talks about this concept in Psalm 1, the very first psalm, and how appropriate that is to be the first psalm in all that long list of psalms in that particular book of that part of God's word. Verses 1 through 3 is what we'll focus on. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, or the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now notice, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Because he's always God. He's in that place in his spiritual life. Like that physical tree is planted by that river of water. And so the water is always nourishing, always feeding it. And so that Christian, that man of God, who walks by God's counsel, is like that tree planted by that river of water. The word of God continues to nurture him and continues to sustain him and strengthen him as he lives his life day in and day out. And I'll live my life according to and directed by my faith. And again, it ought to become just an automatic matter, one that almost goes without too much extra reasoning and thought, because we know simply this is how I'm going to live. It becomes a part of our kind of routine of how we live and how we make our decisions. Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so my faith, again, ought to govern and guide me in my decisions and in my daily living. Now, that's good. I need to make my faith my life. I need to focus on that. I need to give it all of the attention that I can to make that the reality. That I'm not just talking about faith, that faith is not just a part of my life, but that my faith is my life. I live my life by my faith. So we come back to our basic question. How can I do that? What can I do to implement that reality into my life? What can I do to stay faithful to God? First, and I'm going to give three suggestions. You might be able to think of some others, but I think these are basic ones. First, I must spend regular time studying and contemplating upon the teachings of God's word. There's no substitute for that. If faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17, then it only follows that if I want to have strong faith, ongoing faith, abiding faith, then I need to stay in God's word, because that is the basis of where my faith comes from. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." All of that found in God's word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent That means you put forth effort to present yourself approved to God. The King James Version actually says, study to present yourself approved unto God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My correct understanding and handling and application of God's truth, His word to my life, is basic to my standing approved before God. And I need to do that not just once or initially, but I need to do that on an ongoing basis. Studying God's word on a continual basis will strengthen my faith, and it will benefit me tremendously. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. Look at this and how it's repeated over and over again, this principle. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Now, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, these are simply different phrases that are pointing to the same thing, God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. He's simply talking about God's word and living by those teachings communicated therein to us from God himself. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Yes, great reward, an eternal home in heaven, eternal salvation. You see, I cannot know how to live a truly faithful Christian life except through the knowledge provided in God's word. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in, live by my word, you are my disciples indeed. You are truly my followers if you live in, live by my word, my teachings. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that truth is simply God's word, as Jesus communicated in John chapter 17 and verse 17 in a prayer to the Father on the night of his betrayal. He prayed, sanctify them through your truth, or by your truth, your word is truth. So it is the truth of God's word that will make us free. And only by living in and by that word, the teachings of our Lord and of God, can we truly be his disciples. The teachings of God's word give me assurance in my faith and guidance as to my faithfulness. Again, I learn about faith. I learn about truth. I learn about God and Christ. I learn about eternity and salvation and forgiveness and all of that through God's word. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 15, Paul reminds Timothy that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. More literally, God breathed, the sense being the very word of God, and is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, or completely furnished for every good work. God has given us his word to guide us in his will, to guide us in the ways of faith, and to guide us as to faithfulness. So we need to get into his word. That's key. If I want to stay faithful to God, I've got to be a person of the book. I've got to study. I've got to contemplate. I've got to pray for God's guidance as to what I'm reading and learning, and to help me make the proper applications to my life. And those teachings will help me to grow spiritually. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, the sense being a spiritual infant. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, there's that spiritual exercise again, exercising unto godliness, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I've got to stay in the Word. I've got to be in the Word. I've got to continue to think about, pray about, and ask for God's guidance to help me to make the proper applications and implementations of His teachings in my life. And as I do that, I'll grow spiritually. Those teachings will give me guidance from God. Now, second, understanding that I have to be a continual, ongoing student of God's Word, I also need to maintain active fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that needs to be a purposeful thing, a purposeful matter. Romans 12 and verse 10, Paul admonishes, be kindly affectionate to one another. He's talking about not everybody in the world. He's talking about Christian to Christian. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. We're the family of God. There ought to be some preference there between us to one another, because we are in that special relationship. It's not a haughty thing. It's simply recognizing that we are family. And so we need to give proper attention to our relationship, and not on a haphazard basis. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are in a special relationship as God's people in the church, in that he has adopted us. If we are truly Christians, then he has adopted all of us into his family, made us his sons and daughters. Therefore, we are brothers and sisters spiritually. And that's a special relationship, and we need to pay attention to it. A fundamental opportunity to be there, to grow spiritually, to be with one another, to encourage one another, is when the church meets together regularly to worship God and study his word. We go back to that basic text in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I need this time with my brothers and sisters as we come together to worship God as the church on a regular basis and to study his word. I need this in order to develop and strengthen my faith. I need this together time with the church, with my brothers and sisters, spiritually, because it's going to strengthen my faith. And this also gives me prime opportunity to help strengthen the faith of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need their strength to help me, and they need my strength to help them. My personal attendance at church services is about as fundamental a way as there is to demonstrate and exercise my faith. It just doesn't get much more basic than that. And so when somebody says, oh, I've got lots of faith, oh, yes, I'm faithful to God, and they hardly ever walk in the church doors, they're blowing a lot of smoke. They may be deceiving themselves, but they're certainly not deceiving God, and probably not deceiving a whole lot of other folks as well. We need to be together. God designed the church to be here for us largely for a reason. And we should not ignore it or consider it casually or haphazardly. It is a serious identity and a serious relationship. And it is basic to drawing near to God, strengthening my faith, and thereby enabling me to effectively resist the devil, to turn away from his temptations, and thereby stay faithful to God. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What greater setting of being able to draw near to God than when the church, his family, the Lord's body, comes together to worship God and study from his word. What greater opportunity to draw near to God. As I regularly surround myself with supportive people of like faith, I will find living a life of faithfulness to be much more natural and also much easier, because they're trying to live the same life I'm trying to live. And as they're drawing from my spiritual strength and influence and example, I'm drawing from theirs. And there's a whole lot more of them than there is of me. And so I've got a lot more to draw from. And so I can become stronger. And again, a life of faithfulness will be much more natural and much easier to live. So I need to stay in God's word diligently, ongoing. And I also need to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're walking this walk together. And third, I need to be as actively involved as possible in the work and activities of the church. I need this. Well, you know, things are going to get done. I need this, and the church needs for me to be involved and active. This goes back to that mindset again. We shouldn't be looking for excuses why we don't need to be there with the church, why we don't need to be involved in the work and activities, why we're just barely covering the bases and just doing the bare minimum to salve our conscience and keep somebody off our back from saying, would you do this or do that? This goes back to my mindset. To what I make the main focus in my life. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 again. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I need to be involved. I am the church. The work of the church will not get done if I don't do it. We're not going to hire anybody from outside who aren't members of the church to do what the church is supposed to be doing. I need to be involved. And that not only serves my responsibility, but it also helps me to become stronger in my faith and thereby more faithful. The more actively involved I am in serving God as a member of his church, the more natural it will be for me to live a faithful life before him. God wants me, as a faithful Christian, to be zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself, speaking of Jesus, for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's with a zeal for good works. And again in the third chapter of Titus, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. To maintain good works. Notice that he says, should be careful to maintain good works. Full of care to maintain good works. That's part of that life of faith again, and that mindset again. If my faith is not working faith, then my faith will become dead faith. Now get that again. If my faith is not working faith, then my faith will become dead faith. James 2 and verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 20, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead also. You see, this really is not an option. It is a necessity. It is part of what faith is, that I need to be active. I need to be serving. I need to be actively committed and dedicated. I need to be involved in the work and activities of the church. My faithfulness is in my hands. Your faithfulness is in your hands. Only I can decide whether or not I will be faithful. And you decide every day by the way you choose to live your life if you will be faithful. Every one of us does. The choice is our own, personally. Now, the very first thing that I need to do to stay faithful, I need to make up my mind to stay faithful. I need to make up my mind that I'm going to do everything I can, and where I come up short, I'm going to turn to God for that extra strength and guidance and direction and knowledge to stay faithful. I've got to make up my mind. Joshua called the people of Israel together as they were ready to take the promised land, final possession of it. And he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But he'd made up his mind. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had determined he was going to live, and his family was going to live a life of faith and faithfulness. If you've not been living that life, we encourage you to turn it around, looking to God for guidance and help and strength, looking to his word to know what it is and how it is that you can change your life and to become more faithful. We encourage you to take that step. Pray to God. If we can help, please talk with us. If you need the prayers of the church, please step forward and let us know, or talk with us privately. If you need to become a Christian, that's basic and fundamental. Acting upon your faith by repenting of your sins, confessing that faith in Christ, and surrendering to him for the remission of your sins in baptism, as you're buried in that water, buried with him, raised up with him out of that water, a reborn, a new creation spiritually, then we encourage you to take that step. And again, we'd love to help you with that if you'll just step forward or talk to us and let us know, and we can study with you about it. If you need to come, won't you come? Let's be people of faith, and let's determine to be faithful. We can get into God's word and stay there. We can be with our brothers and sisters and encourage them and let them encourage us. And we can be involved in the greatest work in the world at this time or forever. And that is the work of the church. If you need to come, won't you come right now as we stand together and sing?